So basically, he is the creator of the world.
No, no. He's one of the dream figures.
He's one of the?
Dream figures of the cosmic one.
Dream.
See, just like you dream.
Yes.
The totality, the cosmic totality of the God, he's having his cosmic dream. And you are one of the, rather, you are one of his thought waves. You just solidify. The entire dream is a thought. What all it comes there, they are all his, your thoughts, which has become. Similarly, it is there, and you are the one of the thoughts of the Supreme in the dream drama. You and I dream while asleep. He's dreaming while awake. That's the difference.
So we're all dreaming now.
He is dreaming and we are part of the dream. In that dream, 20 people come. So we are those 20 people.
But that's his dream.
Huh?
Yes.
But our dream, my dream.
Your dream is over. It comes for half an hour. This is only to understand how the cosmic dream. See, you are having your small dream. And he's having the immense, the infinite cosmic dream, which includes South Africa, East Africa, America, Peru, Madrid, Amsterdam, everything, everywhere. That's that.
God is having the dream.
God is having the dream. That is why it is called preordained fate and all that. He writes the script, but he doesn't write and publish it, and then it is not dramatized. In his case, the entire thing being such a cosmic totality, he thinks of the lives of all the people. The moment he thinks and evolves a story for each, simultaneously it is enacted. By whom? He is the only one. So he becomes all. Just as in your dream, all the 20 people who came, they were you, because nobody else can come from outside. Similarly, he dreamt you all, so you are he. And unfortunately, we are not the dream figures, we are the figures in his nightmare. That is a pity. So, that is why the problem comes. If it's a dream, I don't mind having it.
You don't mind having it? But you just said it's a nightmare.
That's a pity.
Not for you.
That's a pity.
So how do you get out of this dream?
Huh?
How do you get out of the dream?
How do you get out of that dream?
Yes.
The only way is, number one, you fail to take interest. As a character you are acting, you don't take interest in it. Just for sake, you be wrong. And you have to say, Sita, where have you gone? Where have you gone? Without showing any fears. Sita, where have you gone? Where have you gone? Just like textbook is telling. So the director says, this fellow is useless, so I will withdraw him. So don't show any interest in this world, which is his name.
Displease the director.
This is one way. The other way is, you cajole the director. And tell him,
Cajole
the director. Sir, you are so nice, sir. You are so kind, sir. Please take So, pray to him.
What
these
about,
are the two methods.
What about demanding? What about demanding?
What about the?
Demanding.
Who cares? Who are you? A small fry. Demanding from the sun. Yes,
Swamiji. Why would a perfect being need to dream at the first place?
Huh?
Why would a perfect being need to dream at the first place?
Look here. If everything is known here, then there's no problem at all. So this is a secret. You keep a note. When you meet him, you ask him for something. That's the only way. Nobody knows.
I'll do it.
And we are only told. In the Brahma Sutra it says, Leelavattu Kaivalyam. The entire thing is a sport. It's all his entertainment. Why are you dreaming?
at night?
You do not know. It's your subconscious mind just doing.
Wow.
So you ask your subconscious mind. You do not know. So it's all your this thing. I mean,
come here.
But it's an entertainment. So long as it's a dream. As I told you, it's a nightmare. What entertainment you are likely to get? And the answer is, don't you appreciate a tragedies? King Lear? So it is like that. King Lear is different, yet it's opening on me. Anything you can get through prayers. Prayers are 100% wonderful. Unfortunately, in Hinduism, we give it a very less prominent place. In Buddhism, when they sit in meditation, especially this Tantric Buddhism, they pray to all the gurus, starting from Padmasambhava, who was the first one to go there and start this Manipadme home and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is done. And in Christianity, as you know, there is only that prayer, blessed be the name, our Lord in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. So that is only to be repeated. Again, the same testimony, it comes soon. You go into your closet, close the door and repeat it. So that's all. Only later on they developed this Ave Maria and certain other things. And the, what they call this, Orthodox Church, much later, when they became the Desert Fathers, when they wrote this Philokalia and all that, then they developed one mantra called, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. This is there. So the concept of prayers and its importance has been lost its emphasis in Hinduism.
You are including japa also as prayer?
No, japa is not prayer. Japa is one of the sadhanas. This is a preamble to the sadhana. So if this preamble is done, whatever you do, it will not be dry. You will not do like this. When you say Om Bhur Bhuvasva, you will not proceed. Tears will flow. Simply you sing, Lord, Lord. You will be absolutely lost in it. You cannot pronounce further. You see, there is a great saint. He was called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was to come to south to a place called Srirangam near Trichinopoly. And it so happened, in that big temple, daily one of the local pandits, one of the local scholars, she used to come and sit, daily do chanting of Bhagavad Gita. But how? He will tell one word, he will leave out 2-3 words, he will tell the fourth word, he will leave out 3-4 words, and he will tell the seventh word. He will start, Dharma Kshetre, he will leave.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, Samveta, then he will leave. They said, this man who comes from Bengal, he will think, in South India, there are no scholars, all are useless fellows. So he should not sit here. So they went and told, Swami, you are doing all these things very well. All those fellows are coming. So there will be a lot of unnecessary crowd. There will all be disturbance for you. Come on, I will take you to the southern entrance. Nobody goes by the south, because south is supposed to be the direction of the god of death. So that side nobody will enter. So you go there and sit. He went and sat there that day. When Mahaprabhu came with all paraphernalia, he was given what is called the Purnakumbha, and he was brought in, and they were to take him straight inside to the Lord Ranganatha. Back, suddenly he veered round and went to the left, and he reached that southern place where that man was reading. They said, he is doing the very thing which we wanted to avoid. They can't do anything. He went and standing for a few minutes and hearing that dark thing, which he was reading, leaving out many of the words. When it was over, he told, "Oh, my dear scholar, the way you pronounce shows that you are a real scholar. But how is it that you leave out so many words in between?" "Oh, that you don't ask me, that's my cross." "How?" "You see, when I start reading, that rascal of a Krishna, he comes and stands on the next 3-4 floors and he dances. So I couldn't see them. Okay, then I read the 5th word. Then again he comes and dances on the 6th, 7th and 8th. So I couldn't read them. I told him so many times, "Krishna, allow me to read the Gita. Why are you coming and disturbing me?" That fellow never heeds me. He neither heeds the words of his father in those days, nor he heeds the words of the Bhakta in these days. So that is the pity. What can I do, sir? If you can tell me any other method, I'll be happy. So he wanted to prove to them, you were all thinking that he's a third grade scholar, he's a first grade devotee. He wanted to show it. That's how appearances are deceptive.
Absolutely.
You never know.
We've all been tricked.
Exactly so. There's a king called the Janashruti. It comes in 2 Upanishads. And he had done so much of charity. His name was well known throughout India. And there in the air, 2 swans, they came flying. The senior swan told the junior one, "Hey, don't go too near to the terrace of that king Janashruti. His reputation has become like a flame and it's a big conflagration. You'll be burnt." "What? It's nothing big compared to the reputation of that Raikwa, the one who knows the Brahman. The Raikwa, the court man who knows the Brahman." The king said, "Oh, somebody has got better reputation than me. And who is that Raikwa? I would definitely like to meet him." So he sends his emissaries all through. "Hey, you go and find that man. The only clue is he has got a court. He's called a court man. He has got a court. Sambhala court or something like that." They go everywhere. They find. See, the clues are so flimsy. It's not so easy to find. At last one chap sees an old cart. By its side there is one chap sitting with a dirty cloth here, otherwise bare body. And he was always itching or scratching like this. He went and asked, "Sir, what's your name, sir?" "I am Raikwa." He went and told the king promptly. The king came. He saw. He was no doubt a court man. But his face was glowing with the highest wisdom of the cosmic totality. He goes near to him. He has brought a lot of money, a lot of horses, a lot of elephants. "Sir, I offer all these things to you. Please teach me that Brahman." "Are Shudra?" Shudra is the last of the communities, the 4th. It was used with contempt. There's a lot of discussion about it. How can a Kshatriya can be called a Shudra? He was a Kshatriya king. The idea is, it is written already in the scriptures. Anybody who doesn't know the Brahman is a Shudra. Everybody, including the Brahmins, are born as Shudras only. Janmana Jayate Shudra. Then, when he's given this Upavita, this string here, then he is called Dvija, the twice born. And when he learns the Vedas, then he is called Vipra. Then finally, when he knows the Brahman, Brahma Janati the Brahmana, he is called the Brahmana. So everybody is Shudra only till he knows that. Final one. Anyway, he says, take away all these things, I damn care. The king is disappointed, takes them back. Again, idea strikes him. He has got a daughter who is an unparalleled beauty in the entire India. He takes her with him. Again, he takes a lot of money. He goes and shows it to that realized soul. Sir, I will give my daughter in marriage. Please give me Brahman. He looked at her. Yes, I'll marry her. I'll give you the Brahman.
Say that last thing.
Huh?
I'll marry her and?
I will marry her and I'll give you the Brahman. I'll teach you the Brahman. Exchange program. One beauty for another beauty.
Something more deep also there.
Huh?
I think he's doing his final duty. Right now he's doing his final duty.
See, the point is this. When once they attained that, you cannot predict what they will do next. Nobody can predict. They're unpredictable. That is there. So it is not that he has suddenly fallen down and he has been decoyed and attracted by the wiles of the world. No. You cannot explain. That's all. You reach the stage. He says, Tadrishe eva janantaha. Only the people like him who have become Jivan Muktas, they can understand them. Nobody else can. Nobody else can. That's all. So, here again, the appearance of deceptive. That fellow was scratching his things and he was sitting there with not a pie to his name, no ATM card.
That's unforgivable.
But it was that. That's the thing.
At least the king had a strong desire. The king had a strong desire to...
Strong desire. He had the wisdom to understand him. That here is a rare treasure.
Right.
So I can part with anything to get things from him. So
I think Raipa took the role of Prajapati. He took the role of the rishis. They sometimes, once they identify a very fit king, you know, then to create the proper lineage. They've done it.
Yeah.
Jesus. The best gift that Rishi can give to the kingdom is to create a family.
You see, all the Rishis, you cannot say they were all Jivan Muktas. You don't get Jivan Muktas a dime a dozen, after all. So, they were all at various stages. Even the so-called gods, you know, one of the mandalis of the Rig Veda, mandalis that, 50 mandals or whatever it is, was written by Dirghatamas. Dirghatamas means a man was for a long time in darkness. He was blind. The story behind it comes in our Vedas. The guru of the devatas, he was known as Brihaspati. Brihaspati, one day he knew that his brother has gone somewhere on tour. But his wife used to be quite good looking. So he goes there. She's pregnant. It is the 10th month. The boy is inside. His brother's name is Samarthaka or something. He goes there. He goes with the intention of sleeping with his brother's wife. Is this a morality of a Jivan Mukta? A god, he does. And this is what happened. And the child in the womb, it reviles him. You are the guru of the devatas. the one who does something which is absolutely condemned by the scriptures, you have come for that? He says, you rascal, you have not come out of the womb and you are trying to teach me. May you be blind all through your life. So he is born blind, Dirkadas. But here, by prayers and his own tapasya, the Lord gives him back his eyesight. Then he compiles the various samhitas from various places and he writes on Mandali. It is called Asya Vamadevasya Suktam. The entire things are written. You cannot understand one sentence. And then Kunnan Raja has given a commentary. It is there in our library, as you may know. It is there. Yes, he is in charge of the entire Ramana's library for years. Yes.
He's a genius.
And he's a scientist. He's a IIT graduate in one of the engineering subjects. He left all and he came here.
That's very good decision.
The man whose greed lay in the right direction.
Yes, that's true. He was in no need of money. He was in no need of a job here in Ramashram.
He's a millionaire.
Oh. But a very good library is coming. Today I saw the library. Very good library. Library is very good. It contains all the religions and a lot of books.
I think JJ, you know him.
Morning only.
Dr. Reddy. He has built the biggest Ramana's temple at Bangalore.
I've heard about it.
He was the chairman of the water supply board for the entire Bangalore.
Goodness. Both of us belong to the same caste, engineers.
I'm the only outcast.
You are the joint secretary.
How the mothers were so interested in their children. Madalasa was the queen of a boy, queen of a king. When a child was born, she used to put him in a cradle and rock it to and fro with a lullaby. The lullaby was, a child, you are absolutely pure. You are completely enlightened. Shuddhosi buddhosi niranjanosi. Nothing sticks to you, are 100% pure, without any impurities. Samsara maya aparivarjadosi. All this maya of this entire world cannot touch you, cannot come near you at all. And leave off this maya of sleep. You have slept for a long time. It is time for you to wake up. Samsara mayam tajamoh nidram. So she told like this, all Vedanta. When the boy grew to be 7 years after having been dinned Vedanta from childhood, he told his mother, he may tell father, I am going to a forest, I want to practice and get the Lord. He goes there. This she does to 7 children. The king has become old. He comes and requests, Amma, bended knees, I request, there should be some successor to my throne, so leave at least one fellow. Please don't din your philosophy to him. So one chap, his name is Das Samarthaka, his name was also Samarthaka or something. She doesn't tell him anything at all. And that fellow, when he became a king, one day he asked his mother, Mother, I am told you cannot reach God unless you have a live guru. Tell me, to whom should I go? Where is a guru? You are a wise mother, so you should be able to tell me. She said, the only guru nowadays is Dattatreya, the great avadhuta, the one who has nothing. He goes anywhere he likes, in any manner he likes. Oh, then where will I find him? It's difficult, Baba, but the only clue I can give you is He is one who will never contradict you. If you say the moon is sun, he will agree with you. He will never argue with you. Take it, he is the Tantrika. Then he goes from place to place, charitable houses where they give free food. After all, he'll be taking somewhere. At last he comes across, and what he does, he has kept a stone. And wherever he goes, whomsoever he feels, he looks to be a spiritual man, he'll go to him. Sir, what is this? This is a stone. Stone, the fellow there, the goldsmith assured me, it is a golden one. It is gold, pure gold. A fool, it is not gold at all. What are you talking? Get out. So he cannot be. He goes somewhere. So like that he goes. Finally, in some place, he finds a person sitting at a corner. He was also scratching his body, all eczema fellows, all the Jivanuktas. So he was doing this. And he goes to him. Sir, what is this? My eyes are not so good in these days. You tell me, what is this? This is the stone, sir. Right. It's a stone. I simply befooled you. It's not a stone. This is gold. It is gold only. Like that two or three times. Whenever he told contradictorily, he agreed. He just fell at his feet. You are Dattatreya. Please be my guru. She said, what are you talking? I'm an ordinary poor fellow. He said, you will do for me. And then he goes to him. So, such were the Jivanuktas. You cannot recognize them. But where can you get? Everybody wants a Jivanmukta as his guru. That's all. So that is why it is told, you get the guru you deserve. That's all. You can't help it. That's all. A three-year-old child who is in UKG, she can't expect a PhD to come and teach, give a tuition at his house. So you will get somebody who has failed three times in 10th standard. That's option.
Yesterday you said that there's four kinds of Jivanmuktas.
Yes.
Brahmavid,
Brahmavittara, Brahmavittama, Brahmavidvarishta. And over all this is the few people who can be counted in the figures. Like Ativarnasamis, they are called, like our Bhagavan Ramana, this one. They are people who got 150 marks out of 100 by answering all choice questions too.
That's can one. You say what is the difference?
The difference is, they say, is according to the type of sadhanas they did, and all people didn't do the same type of sadhana. Oh. Each one went by different path. So accordingly, they have been categorized. Otherwise, see, the one who has already absorbed into totality, what differences can there be? So the difference is not in the result. The difference is in the path. That's all. So they have categorized it. That's all. See, we people are specialists in division. A small child, when it is born, it doesn't know the difference between the wall, the doctor, the nurse and the mother. It was living in akhandatva, in the absolute and integral totality it was living. But by fifth month you began to divide it. What is this? What is this? Yeah. The poor fellow was there in the ultimate state. You bring him down. We are responsible, all divisions we do. And after all, there is only one. You created Pakistan, India. God did create. And then you have the guts to ask the Lord, you please bomb down and eliminate the, annihilate the entire Pakistan, only we should prosper. What an idea. You tell me.
Other than Sri Ramana, could you name a few others?
The first one was called Vamadeva.
Vamadeva
was a great rishi.
He
was a great rishi. He was inside the womb of his mother. It was the 10th month. He got his enlightenment because he was a ripe soul. See, all these people who were Ativarnashramis, they were all 100% ripe souls. We had come only as world teachers and they had nothing else to have. Even the drama, as I told, he keeps an exit door. Even the hell, there are two exit doors. Only we are clever to, not to find both of them. That's all. So it is there. The scripture, the guru, they are all inside the Maya only. But they're all meant to take you out of Maya. They're the exit doors within the Maya itself. So, while in the womb, suddenly one day the realization came. And in that realization, he shouts, Aham Manurabhavam, Aham Chandrasya Suryascha. I was the one in those days. I am the sun, I am the moon. So he got it. He was the first one. Then the second one was Shukadeva, the son of Vyasa. He was not born till he was 16 years of age. He refused to come out. Oh mother, oh father, I am afraid of this phenomenal world. This is very comfortable. I am all alone, I am doing my sadhana. I am very happy. I get all, no infection can come inside because I get all strained fluids through the nerves of my mother, through the capillary tubes of my mother. So let me remind this. A fool, your mother, for the last 15 years, she is lying down. She is unable to get up. She will die. So please, you come out. Then, with very great reluctance, he comes out. If it were a picture in Tamil Nadu or North, the moment he comes out, he will say, Mummy, he will say, Daddy, nothing. He just looked, he espied a forest at a distance. He began to run. He had not a scrap of cloth to cover himself. He runs, he was not aware of the world. He runs there and he sits there. He is not prepared to come anywhere. So, this was the second. So what are the qualifications for a Ativarnashrami? Number one, he should wear no signs or insignia of the particular Varnashrama to which he possessed. That I am a Brahmachari, so I am wearing this Ramana completely threw it away when he entered Tiruvannamalai. So one never knows whether it's a Brahmachari or what. Like that, or to which caste he belonged. And number two, he should not be subject to any samskara. He should not have been married at any time. He should not have taken sannyas at any time. And he is the Ativarnashrami. The third condition which is given is that he should have no guru in this birth, or everything finished in the previous birth. He came as the ripe fruit, as the world teacher. And this was fulfilled by Ramana, the same thing was fulfilled by him, by Shukadeva. Then the fourth one was Jadabharata. It comes in the fifth skanda of Srimad Bhagavat.
Say the name again?
Sai has written Bhagavat Vahini.
Yes, no, so say the name of this.
He is Jadabharat.
Janabharat.
Jadabharat. That means insentient. It is opposite to the one which is conscious. What is consciousness? What is jada?
Oh, Jada.
Jada.
Okay.
Yes. So, in the first birth, he was a king. He should have got his liberation that birth. Unfortunately, one day while going, he saw a small deer being born and the mother dying immediately. Oh my Lord, this cannot even walk. And it is left alone. So when there must
be. Oh, he adopted the deer.
So he went there. And he said, poor thing, it has no other companion.
Right.
So he forgot his meditation. He forgot his prayers. Morning to evening he was sitting and praying. He purchased a ball. He will put it. It will put it back. Oh, beautiful. He was playing ping-pong with it. That's
sure.
all. So this was the Janabharata who was there. And he was not at all bothered. A king reviles him. He is going. Absolutely not bothered. But finally, he takes pity on the king. This king was the deer in the first birth. So, as he had some attachment at that time, so now he says, after all he was being with me, so now I should open his eyes a little. And then he begins to talk. And the king reminds him in this manner, oh, you are so lean and thin. And you have walked a long distance. They have walked a short distance. Only thing was, wherever there was a line of ants going, she used to make a big jump. The king used to, it's after all made of wood, the entire palanquin, he used to hit himself. So he couldn't tolerate it being a king. Hey, what are you doing, you fellows? Then they say, sir, we are not responsible. This new fellow is responsible. So then he starts. Then he says, all these things he told, now I'll have to teach you a lesson. He says, look here. You are telling, oh, you are so lean and all sarcastic. Shall I tell you, man? Chaulyam karshyam vyadhe adhyasya dehena jatasya mena santi. The point is, when once we are conceived by the mother, the first thing is, we are only a meat gel in the fallopian tubes. Slowly we descend into it. It has not now vital alone. The vital force, which you call the pran shakti, pran, it is not there. And according to the medical science, it is only in the fifth month that vital energy enters into the body and goes into that body.
Vital energy means prana?
Prana. In French they call it vital elan.
The land of God.
See, all these things do not give the exact meaning of prana. But anyway, we know what it means. So he says, all these things like fatness, leanness, diseases, worries, these are all for that fellow who was born with the body. Here the body was born 5 months earlier to me. I am his younger brother. I am the self. I came from somewhere. After all, as per the law of thermodynamics, energy cannot be created, energy cannot be destroyed. So from somewhere it has come. That's all. And secondly, he said, so whatever you do, this, whatever may happen to this container called the body, it cannot affect the Atman or the self. The king gets a doubt, sir, when I am cooking rice, in the cooker, I put the water and then put the rice in a bowl. The water gets heated, the cooker gets heated, this rice also gets heated. So as such, as the self is here inside, when the body has got something, it should affect it on this basis. He said, my dear sir, analogy is not a method of argument. But still I tell you, instead of rice, you put a brick. You keep it for 24 hours. Will it become mellowed? Soft? No. So similarly, it depends on the object. So Atman is that which cannot be like that. He teaches him the entire thing. He is the other one. And afterwards we don't know, because Bhagavan answered this in a court case. When they came, they started asking him, well, what is your name, please? There's a name, there's a way. He said, people call me Raman Maharshi. People call me Raman Maharshi. I say, we find that you are, every Purnami, you are having a complete shaving, like a sannyasi. But we don't find ochre robe. So what are you? Are you a brahmachari? Or are you a householder? What are you? She said, well, I come to the category of Ati Varnashtamis, the one who has transgressed all these Varnashtamas. Oh, is this a term coined by you? See, you know, the Indians are a little afraid of asking such questions, but the Westerners are not. By their culture. So they asked him. He says, no. There have been several people earlier to me, like Vamadeva. He quoted all these people. Oh. And not only that, he quoted five books where all these things are written. I remember only two. One is called the Jivanmukti Viveka by Vidyaranya. It is quoted, 20 shlokas are quoted. And this also in what is called?
Sutta Samhita.
Sutta Samhita. It is there. So these are the two I remember. I don't remember the other books. He quotes four chapter and verse where they are. See, nobody knew what question they are going to ask. So he went up prepared himself. It is not a TV interview where he goes prepared. So then things goes on. That's why we know from his own mouth it has come that this is the thing. And that is Adivarnashri. And I think there was in Sadashiva Brahmendra, perhaps 500, 600 years back, his samadhi is there in a place called Nehru. He was also of a very high category. And he also comes in this category. And we don't know how many more. Mm. After all, we don't have a list of the Jivanmuktas who ever lived. Mm. So we have no idea at all. But that's how it is.
Anandamayi Ma
was married. Yes, person should not have undergone any of those ceremonies.
Well, it's not out of her choice.
Eh?
She got married when she was like 9 or 10.
No, that's not the criterion. The point is she should not have undergone any samskar at all, because this will leave a seed which will affect in the next birth. Whether it is done even as a false thing or something, it always leaves the seed. So that is not accepted. When it is to be, it's 100% purity which cannot be reached by all. See, after all, this is in the time of world inception. If only 6 or 7 are there, how rare it should be. That's why. She was great. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was great. But they don't come into the category of this thing. They all got 100 out of 100. But this one got 150 out of 100.
How about Sai Baba?
Eh?
Sai Baba.
Sai Baba, I do not know. I don't have a very intimate knowledge of him. That's all. Shirdi Baba, Sai Baba, I know.
As to their origin, Shirdi Baba, nothing is known, so we do not know. So that's why.
But according to that, this thing, that, he talks of his guru, because somewhere they get a samadhi. He says, this is Venkoba my guru. And then he says, in the previous birth, he and three other boys were going into a forest. An old man comes, hey boys, don't go in, you won't know the way to come back, you will suffer. by the time you think of coming to it 12 o'clock, and you will also have severe pangs of hunger, and you will not find anything. Hey, old man, keep quiet. They went, all the four. And the Sai Baba was there in his previous jatma. He was there in his previous incarnation. So when they went inside, as he rightly foretold, when they thought of coming back, they were going here and there on various paths, they find themselves back in square one. So they didn't know the way. By that time, they were terrifically hungry too. There's nothing to eat. Again, this old man appears there with a carrier full of some nice eatables and delicacies. He gives them, come on, you take it first. He never said, I told you so. No, that's not the way of the big people. That's all. And then he tells them, look here, you should not come like that in unknown places. I will show you the way. You get out. So he takes them and shows them the way. All the four go out. Within 5 minutes, the one who was to be the Sai Baba, he returns. And he falls and prostrates. Please accept me as your disciple, please. Hey, do you have complete faith in me? 100%. You will do what all I say? 100%. There is a big well, seldom used. It was half full of the dirtiest water in the world. And he tied him in a rope. There is a pulley. So through that, he, just like a balti, like a this thing,
bucket,
he sends him there just to see that he floats on the surface of the water.
Upside down.
And tied it there.
Upside down.
Upside down. And he went away. After 10 days, he comes. He releases him. How do you feel? Oh, excellent. Excellent. Okay. Then he accepted him. He was with him. So many people came. He used to advise, spiritual advice, and used to give them mantras. All these things are taking place. So all these things are taking place. Hariyo. So, but he never taught a single word to Shirdi Baba, his Guru Vikopa, in the previous birth. He never taught him anything. He was simply there as a witness, but he was telling so many things. And one day, early morning, he called him. Hey, today is my last day. And all my powers, whatever I have, I am handing it over to you. So, he made a small ritual. He handed over all his powers, and then he left his body. This is what he says. God is good. That's all. So, we never know how we attain such a jnana and all that. After all, he has never taught. But then, with a Jivan Mukta, he need not teach. Just looking at him is sufficient, which is called Nana Disha, Disha with the eye. There are three types of giving Disha to somebody, with those people. One is like a fish, another is like a hen, and another is like a tortoise. These are the three types of dishas. In the case of your tortoise, it goes somewhere and there it lays its eggs. And it comes away. And it comes back to original place and somewhere it is going. But not a second it forgets them. It is always continuously remembering those. So by that mental contact they get mature. Similarly, the Guru just thinks of you and you get matured. This is one type. The second type is tortoise, like that of a hen. That is by actual touch in a way. The hen lays its eggs and it sits over it. Its complete touch is there and then it gets matured. Similarly, he just touches you or he touches you with his words. By through mantras and all that. So that is the touch method, like the current I mean, the computer side or something, they simply touch, you know. So it was bad in those days. Then the third one is like the fish. The fish lays its eggs in the water and it follows them, it floats in the front. It doesn't take its eyes off. It just looks at them, going on looking at them. So with the eyes, they get matured, they become small fish. So this is the fishy diksha. I mean, they're like that. There are three types.
This business of hanging somebody upside down in a well.
See, the point is this. These are all, we will call, he's testing the things. The question of testing doesn't arise. A man who knows this much, he also knows that he's fit. He need not test. So there is no question at all. As we said again, the entire thing is a drama conceived by the Supreme and is meant for his entertainment. So a drama, you can write anything. You can make the hero marry 100 girls. You can make the hero be jilted by 100 girls. You can make the that hero commit suicide. Who is to ask Shakespeare, why did you do this? That's all. So that's the thing.
You don't think there's any significance about being upside down?
No, I will say, I don't know. We cannot know. Who is to know them? That's the problem. That could be. That may not be. That's all.
If you take it, if you look into the persona of Shirdi Baba, it's hard, you know, it's quite possible he simply created the whole episode and is telling this of the disciple about the guru. He completely created, because the guru is the most cruel man in the guru there, completely. And then upside down, he's basically saying that your entire world will be pulled inside out.
In the Jewish tradition, esoteric tradition, they have something called the tarot. And it's like a pack of cards.
I know. It's well prevalent in south of India. There are many people who are masters in the tarot system of predictions.
But one of those cards, there is a man hanging upside down in a well.
I see.
So I was wondering, is some connection? Should I hang myself upside down in a well? Maybe it'll help.
That might be a start.
And then go to the guru knows that he is only making the brain upside down so that it will work all right in the right direction. Maybe. Nobody knows. We can only confess our ignorance. We cannot dare to give any reason. That's
like the salt dawn. Like the salt dawn.
Hari Om.